Thank you for the wonderful song service this morning. I think of all the metaphors about the cross and my understanding of the cross, the theme of redemption has been my favorite over the years. Related words are ransom, redemption. It all conveys the cost of our salvation. So glad to have this many people with us. I met a young lady, she's from Canada, so we have an international group today, and I'm sure she did not come because she heard that Stephen was preaching. She's sitting with Scott Heff's oldest son, and we're glad to have him with us and all the visitors that we have. Nice to have Chris and Emily and Kylie and Noah with us. They came specifically because Stephen is preaching today. Kylie just turned 16, and that is she and Mikey had significant birthdays this month. She's driving, which means another car, Chris. And she's just sort of a child of this church. She was born here, and we love her very much. And we have a new baby that we hope will follow in your steps, Romilly. And Romilly's here with her parents and with her grandparents. And we always are glad to see any time a child is born to one of our members. The last time Stephen preached for us, he had about 3 hours notice. I called him. I woke up not feeling well. And out of desperation, I called Stephen. And he immediately said, "I'll be there and I'll preach." And that was about 3 hours before service was to begin. Gave him a little longer time to prepare. I always love it when Stephen preaches because I respect him so much. He's a great person. He studied at Heritage Christian University in Florence, Alabama. And I think he took classes that were being taught by some of my classmates when I was in school, which shows you a little bit of the difference between our ages. He and his wife have made a valuable contribution to this church. When I started preaching, we used to hand out a card occasionally to see what people were willing to do. And we called it the Be Ready to Every Good Work card. And we'd have, depending on the size of the church, 10 or 12 to 20 different tasks that needed to be done. And people would volunteer and say, "Well, I'll do this or I'll do that." If we had such a card for this church, Stephen Middleton's card would have everything checked because he's willing to do anything for this church. And he's a valuable member, and I'm looking forward to hearing your lesson, Stephen.
Well, Brother Allen, thank you so very much for those kind and encouraging words. And Brother Chris and your family, I think you're first to have ever heard that I was going to be somewhere preaching, and you came deliberately to hear that, to do that. Usually we have to tell people, lock the doors and keep it on the down low if I'm preaching today. So thank you very, very much again for this wonderful opportunity to do what I love to do so very, very much, and that is to impart some of the thoughts that I have gathered through years of study, through God's Word, both of growing up PK, a preacher's kid, and through the Bible classes, and as someone who said he would never, ever, ever go into gospel preaching. Well, God has a way of adjusting attitudes to do this for us, and so I know I try not to ever tell him never again, because he'll fix me right up. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew's gospel account. We're going to be in chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, a passage that is very near and dear to my heart because it's something that I need to hear so very much. Most of my sermons, I'm never preaching to, if I say you in any type of way, just understand I'm talking about me. They are words that I need to hear and to be reminded myself of very much. And so the title of our lesson today is The Danger of Judging Others. So Sister Shirley was asking before services if she could have a peek on what the sermon talk was going to be. And I said, no, you got to wait and stay to hear. But I told her it would be in a section on the Sermon on the Mount. So Sister Shirley, and now you know where we're going with this. So let me frame it up with this kind of illustration here. It's an illustration I got out of one of those books entitled Jokes and Illustrations for Preaching and Teaching. So it might be true, it might not be, if it actually happened. But at least the principle will. It says, a young American at a banquet found himself seated next to a diplomat of Asian descent. And not knowing what to say to this person, the young man pointed to the first course of the meal and just asked, likey soupy? The diplomat just smiled and nodded. Well, not long after, that diplomat, whose name is Wellington Koo, delivered an eloquent keynote addressed in perfect English. And as he retook his seat amid the standing ovation, he turned to the young American and asked, likey speechy? A warning to never make a judgment call based on external circumstances alone before you get to even know a person. Well, Jesus was talking about this in this section of his discourse to his disciples and to the crowds who were listening in Matthew chapter 7. It reads, do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be measured to you you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This was not a new thought for the Jews. The rabbis often preached against the idea of passing judgment on others. They had statements that said, he who judges favorably will be favorably judged by God. And this favorable judgment to give to others was considered one of six great works which brought credit upon a man in this life and also in eternal life. It was nothing less than a sacred duty. And there is hardly anyone who has not been guilty of misjudging someone else, or is there hardly anyone who has not suffered from the misjudgments of other people? Folks, the last time I got to preach, when I was put on short notice, I got to share with you one of my pet peeves about one of the most taken out of context verses in the Bible, and that was from John 3:16, for whoever believes in Jesus Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. If there's a close second to it or an equal to that one being lifted out of context, it is this very passage of judging others. Do not judge others in order to not be judged. Grossly misapplied and abused as this one, it has woefully been lifted out of its context as it applies to the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel is a message which has at its core the subject of repentance. It is not a license to let people go on sinning, or for one to think that no man has the right to judge me, so I would just go for that. It has been used as a cop-out by so many people when they are warned of the dangers of sin. So let's get the context right of what we're talking about here. The context, if you go back to chapter 5, or verses 1 and 2, Jesus is originally trying to teach his disciples, but with great crowds kind of listening in and auditing the course as he begins. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, and that is a man-made title that is given to it, and certainly it is a sermon in that it imparts spiritual wisdom and teachings. But after being through college courses, and the first seminar of any class of a brand new semester was the professor or the teacher handing out the course syllabus, the outline of the course, and going with the students everything that is going to be discussed in that course. What every class session is going to be about, what the bibliography is, what the professor used to research to put this class together, and especially when assignments are due. Right from the beginning. So as I got to know this passage of scripture, I kind of thought about it at this, because this is the beginning of the Lord's formal teachings. And so he's got his disciples together, not giving them the all things to know right here. He's giving them an outline and giving the crowds an outline of everything he is going to be teaching throughout the next 3 years to his disciples. What they are going to be teaching the crowds and what they need to be learning themselves, and what the crowds can expect to be hearing from him and his disciples. And so when he says, do not judge, for whatever judgment you use, that will be measured against you, he's telling that to his disciples, and he is telling that to the crowds. Now remember, he's training these disciples to be gospel preachers. And so first and foremost, the first point we're going to make on this lesson is, number one, the disciples do not have the option to withhold the information of the gospel on the basis of prejudice. They are not allowed to make up their minds on who is worthy and not worthy to hear the gospel. Jesus is telling them now at the beginning of his ministry, and will remind them before his ascension back into heaven after his resurrection, you preach the gospel to every creature. You preach it. You pass on that information. You do not have the option to discriminate. You preach it and let the chips fall where they may. And one of the first reasons why we, as is this continuing of his ministry, cannot pre-pass judgment on who hears and who's not, is because we never know all the facts or the whole person. Alan, I'm sure you see this all the time in trial cases, all the time, to try to put a context to why they're here, why a defendant is on trial. I have been on juries a time or two and know that it is difficult to put preconceived notions aside and to not make a judgment aside before any evidence is given. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. Somebody who's calm and even-tempered does not know what it's like to be a hothead. Somebody who's passionate and compulsive to do this. I sat in that traffic. I had to come to the island yesterday to come and clean to get ready for the next guest to rent our condo out. And I got stuck in traffic on 146 because I knew 45 was already messed up. So I thought it'd be clever, take 146. Wrong. Sat at a standstill for 45 minutes and got home, and Cindy asked, "Why do you look so calm?" There's nothing I could do about it. Fortunately, I had my Bible with me and started reading my Bible and collecting my thoughts together to do this. But I know other people who it would just be driving them nuts to sit at a standstill trying to look. And don't think that I didn't think about trying to jump the curves, but I was trapped within the text dot walls of death on either side to try to get out. We don't know the whole person or the whole situation. I heard of one of those other stories about two British pilots during World War II had just been decorated by the Queen for their bravery and heroism, and after that award ceremony went to go have lunch somewhere, and so they were dressed in their civilian clothes, and one lady who had passed by, assuming that they were young men of fighting age, not out in the battle, and were shirking their patriotic duty. So she laid down what the Brits called the white badge of cowardice at their table, to lay a white feather at their table. She didn't know she was given that to decorated heroes, because she did not know what Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story that goes along with it. We don't know a whole person. This is why we cannot pass judgment before any preaching has taken place. That brings us to the next point. It is virtually impossible for any human being to be totally impartial. People are swayed by instinctive and unreasoning reactions to other people. An introvert will often shy away from associating with a group of extroverts. Typically, people of one ethnicity will gravitate towards others of their own and vice versa. It just seems to be human nature to instinctively fear differences. But the Lord gave us a wonderful example recorded in John's Gospel in 4 verses 9, where Jesus had an encounter with a Samaritan woman at a well. And he began to use that opportunity to teach her about eternal life. And she was shocked. She says, "How is it you are a Jew or speaking to me, a Samaritan?" And a woman, for that matter. Something that was not done in the first century. If you want to know anything about racism, you have to understand the relationship between Jews and the Samaritans and how much they hated each other. How the Jews regarded them as half-breeds who, when their tribes were taken away into Samaria captivity back in the 7th century B.C., had intermarried with the Canaanites. Their brethren down in the south wrote them off and said, "They're not part of us anymore." Jesus proved them wrong, that you made a misjudgment. Jesus did speak to her. And no, here's another thing. She was living in sin. She was in a shack-up situation with another man. Jesus told her, "Go and get your husband." And she said, I have no husband." He said, "Okay, you said it rightly. I can talk to you. You know your situation. Matter of fact, you've had 5 husbands before, and the man you're with now is not your husband." See, he didn't prejudge her unworthy to hear the gospel, even though she was in a sinful relationship. he used the opportunity to tell her what her condition was so that she could do something about it. If we can lay aside preconceived notions and do our best to be impartial, maybe we would be more successful in our evangelism efforts. Maybe the world and our society wouldn't be so depraved as it seems to be now. Jonah, the prophet Jonah, suffered this. You know the story of Jonah. God told him, you go to the Ninevites, a Gentile nation, not part of the Israelite community. God told him, go preach to Nineveh, because in 40 days I'm going to destroy it. You know the story. He didn't want to go. He tried to skip it, got on the ship, thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale. God adjusted his attitude a little bit, at least adjusted his action. He went to Nineveh, had the shortest gospel revival ever recorded, one sentence, 40 days, and Nineveh, and God's going to wipe Nineveh out. Don't even bother standing to sing anything like that. The whole city came forward, so to speak, with their responses with them. Asked, well, don't just leave it hanging like this. What are we going to do about this? Repent. Obviously, repent. And they wanted to know how. I am sure this would have to shock the prophet Jeremiah, who preached his heart out to his own fellow countrymen, and nobody came forward during the invitation, so to speak. Nobody repented. Years and years of preaching, books on it. Jonah, one sentence, 100% response to come with it. That's what prejudgment can do. We don't know. So therefore, we do not have the luxury of being partial. And if anything, that brings us to the last point of our lesson before we conclude this is, Brother Butch, thank you for those themes of redemption in your song service. He had no idea what the theme was going to be here today. This whole passage on judging not others is this whole thing about redemption, being made useful again, and salvation. If there's one thing that the cross teaches us, it teaches us that nobody is good enough to judge someone else. That was the whole purpose of the cross, is nobody's good. Jesus drew a very picture of someone with a plank in his eye telling someone else that he has a speck of dust in his. And only the faultless has the right to look for faults in others. Jesus is going to be taking his disciples to go and eat among what the Jews were calling sinners and prostitutes, tax collectors, to go and be with the worst of the worst. He's going to show them, don't judge, let's see how this happens. And we saw time and time again what happened when the crowds and the Pharisees, when they saw Jesus going to tax collectors and prostitutes, the worst of the worst sinners. What did they say? We have a recording of this in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus went to a Pharisee's house by the name of Simon, went to go have dinner with him, and a woman came to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And everybody else in the household, especially Simon, said, if this guy were a prophet, he would not be letting her touch him. She's a sinner. And yet Jesus, Simon, let me share a story with you. Two debtors owned the master. Two slaves owed the master. One a lot, one not so much. Who do you think is going to love the master more? And Simon gave the right answer. The one who was forgiven of, who had the bigger debt to relieve. He said, you're right. Simon, you've dissed me. Don't think I didn't notice this, but you dissed me. I came into your house. You didn't give me the usual greeting, what they called the holy kiss, a kiss on each cheek as someone entered the house of welcome. Nor did he give him a basin of water to wash his feet with. He says, I noticed that. Don't think I didn't. But I didn't say anything then. But since you brought the sins up of someone else, I'm going to point out yours too. You have just as much sin as anybody else. Matter of fact, you might have even a greater sin, and that is the sin of self-righteousness. Nothing is so more blinding than self-righteousness. Jesus summed up his mission of this when, remember the tax collector Zacchaeus, who climbed up a sycamore tree. We sing the little vacation song about him. When I went to Israel back in 2017, I made sure that I climbed up in a sycamore tree in the town of Capernaum, where Jesus had preached this. I said, I got to see this. I've been hearing about this ever since I was a kid. Jesus got judged for going to his house today and for even talking with Zacchaeus. But he said, this too is a son of Israel. It is of such that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Not to let them be lost and go on in their sins, but to give them a chance to do something about it. Somebody by the name of Richard Needham, a philosopher, made this statement and said, many are those who cry so loudly for justice would soon beg for mercy if justice were done to them. So as we conclude our lesson today, there is a distinction between making discretionary calls and passing judgment. We do not have the opportunity to judge somebody a good prospect or not. Everybody's just a prospect, somebody to preach to. And so we're going to extend an invitation this morning and just close with this one thought. For us all to ask ourselves this question: how do you judge yourself? Your response to the commandments of the Lord will judge yourself whether you put it into practice or not, to obey him or to not. We're here to preach, not to pass judgments. We're only here to warn everyone that the true judgment is coming by the one who knows every deed of our heart, every thought of our heart, who is the righteous one. And if it were just on goodness alone, nobody would pass. Nobody would be pardoned. Only those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ will be pardoned and relieved of their guilt of sin, and then judged, redeemed, and to enter into heaven's gates for all eternity. So as we sing this song of encouragement, if you're in a situation that will not pass the bar of judgment, nobody here judges you. We're just here to help get you out of judgment. We will assist you, whether it's to put on the Lord in baptism or pray to you to help overcome sin. Whatever your need might be, we plead with you to come while we stand and sing.
A great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?
Oh.